All right, we're going to go ahead and take a look at a lesson that I'm calling Women of Action today. And that's because we're going to look at some examples of women in action from the book of Acts. Women who prayed and who professed and proclaimed within the text of the book of Acts. And I chose to focus on that one area because I could find women all throughout the Bible. There's Sarah, and there's Hannah, and there's Ruth, and so many women of faith that we could look at. We're just going to focus on the book of Acts. So where do we start in the book of Acts? Well, a good place to start is at the beginning. That's where I like to start. So if you do have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, we're going to start there in Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start by looking at women of action who prayed. Women who prayed. And you'll remember that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gave his final instructions to the apostles and then ascended. And then later in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we're told that they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Think about that again. The church had yet to be born at this point, chronologically in the history of things. The Spirit had not yet come either. And Matthias had not yet been chosen to replace Judas. But the 11, along with the women, including by name Jesus' mother Mary and her sons, constantly, continually consecrated themselves to God in prayer. And of course, we can only begin to speculate as to what they prayed about. Did they pray about the Lord's return? After all, Jesus had just ascended. Did they pray for the Spirit to come that Jesus had said would come soon? Did they pray for the leadership of the apostles as they have yet to choose Matthias? Did they pray for all those things or more? Did they pray for their families for healing? Did they praise God? Whatever it is that they prayed about, we are told with great assurance that the women there in Acts chapter 1 prayed regularly with the disciples. What about other examples? Well, over in Acts chapter 12, persecution of the church is under full swing at that time, and King Herod did his best to please the Jews by persecuting the Lord's church. And so James, the son of Zebedee, is put to death, and Peter is locked up in prison awaiting trial and possible execution. Because Herod's the kind of guy that just wants to please everybody. And he saw how happy everybody was with James. And he's just eager to go ahead and do Peter in. And so what do the women do? They pray. They pray. Acts 12 and verse 12 tells us that the disciples were at the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and they were all praying. They were all praying. By the way, long story short of that, if you're not familiar with the text, Peter is miraculously released from the prison and he rejoins the disciples at Mary's house. And why? Because the Lord heard their prayers and released Peter. If you're in the book of Acts and you're following along, you turn over a couple more chapters, four more chapters, to Acts chapter 16. We read there about Paul and Luke and Timothy and Silas and others who were visiting a river where the women were doing something. You might think, well, what were they doing down by the river? Were they fishing or were they sewing or doing laundry? Well, they were praying. They were praying. There in Acts 16, 13, we're told they're praying. And we're going to talk some more about those women a little bit later. So I'm going to shelve that one for right now. But for now, let's look at just one more example of these women of action who prayed. And that is found over in Acts chapter 21. And again, you can just keep flipping to the right or scrolling, depending upon how you're looking at your Bible. And this is at the tail end of Paul's third missionary journey before he went to Jerusalem. And so starting there in verse 3 of Acts chapter 21, we find Paul in the city of Tyre. And at Tyre, he found disciples there who were very encouraging to him. And before Paul left there, verse 5 tells us that all the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. Again, we see that not only the men were there, but the women, their wives, and their children were there. They went out and prayed with Paul. And speaking of prayer and children, we should be like the three-year-old boy that Paul Harvey, the radio commentator, once talked about. This boy and his mother went to the store, do some grocery shopping, and before they entered the store, she said to him rather sternly, "Listen up, young man. You're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask." You see, he'd been in the habit of always wanting chocolate chip cookies, you know. So she picked him up and she put him into the child's car, you know, the seat of the cart, the child's seat there, strapped him in, you know, and wheeled him on down the aisles. Of course, today you have to make sure you follow the arrows and go down the right one so you don't bump into somebody. Anyway, the little boy was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section. That's where I have some weakness too, I'll have to admit. And he saw the chocolate chip cookies, and he stood up as best as he could with that belt on, you know, they're kind of loose. And he said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "I told you not even to ask. You're not going to get any cookies?" So he sat back down. Well, they continued down the aisles, going the way and stuff, but in the search for certain things, they ended up going right near the cookie aisle. So the boy asked again, "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "I told you that you can't have any. Now sit back down and be quiet." Finally, the time came for them to check out, and the little boy just knew that this was going to be his last chance to get some cookies. So just before they got to the checkout line, he stood up in the seat of the cart again. He shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everyone around them just laughed. Some even applauded. But don't you know, due to the generosity of the shoppers around him, that little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. The point being, you don't ask, you don't receive, right? Anyway, we need to be like that little boy and keep on praying and pray and keep on asking God, you know, as much as we can and believe that we'll receive it. You know, just like we've seen the women of action pray in the book of Acts, we need to pray like that too, to pray constantly, continually, fervently. We also see women of action who professed in the book of Acts. That is, women who professed their faith in Jesus Christ. Women who, in the book of Acts, heard the gospel, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized. Now, we can easily look to passages like Acts chapter 2:38 and see that this is a fact that is true in a blanket fashion. In other words, when it says they were all baptized into Christ, that included women too, of course. Both genders were saved. But as we go through the book of Acts, we start to see some women of action being singled out and even being mentioned by name. For example, back in Acts chapter 8, in the chapter where Simon the sorcerer is the main focus, is the main character that people often look at in that text, you remember in verse 12 that the Samaritans believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. See, it's singled out that women were also baptized. And that's because, you know, under the old covenant, you know, women, you know, did not receive a circumcision, if you will. Instead, the men did, and they were the head of the household. And so women were sort of in a different sort of relationship. But this way he's saying, hey, this isn't something just for men. This is for men and women. And those women, they were baptized. And I know I said we'd mention some by name, and that's somewhat generic, but the text does mention women specifically, and we will mention a name or two in a minute or two. Still, it's important to remember that the gospel is for all. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 28 reminds us that you are all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's in Galatians. Let's get back over to the book of Acts. So what women are mentioned by name in the book of Acts? Well, again, back in Acts chapter 16, we notice that God made sure that we would remember Lydia's name. She is one of the few women mentioned by name in the book of Acts who, upon her belief, was baptized and became a Christian. Of course, there are other women who became Christians, but their names aren't mentioned. For example, just one chapter over in Acts chapter 17, during Paul's second missionary journey, as Paul is preaching the gospel in Thessalonica, verse 4 says that some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women, meaning that a lot of prominent women obeyed the gospel. And so maybe the reason why individuals weren't listed by name here is because the list would be too long, because a lot of prominent women obeyed the gospel. It wasn't just a handful, but a lot, not a few, okay? And then as Paul and Silas traveled and preached in Berea, verse 12 in the same chapter tells us that many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Still no names mentioned here, but again, I think that's because the list was so long. But here's one more example, and this one does mention a woman by name. And this is still in Acts chapter 17. But if you look down at verse 34, when Paul was in Athens preaching at the Areopagus, making known the unknown God, we're told that a woman named Damaris became a Christian there. Damaris, another woman mentioned by name, women of action who professed their faith and became Christians. There are also many women who proclaimed their faith in the book of Acts, women who proclaimed their faith by their actions, by their good works, if you will. Again, while it's true that we're not saved by good works like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us, the next verse in Ephesians 2, there in verse 10, tells us that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So as Christians, we do good works not to be saved, but because we are saved. And again, in Acts, we see that women of action are simply full of these good works proclaiming their faith. For example, back in Acts chapter 16, Paul meets a young man named Timothy. And he's already a Christian at this point. And right about now, you should be thinking, okay, wait a second. Timothy is a guy. We were talking about women. How does this work out? Okay, well, just follow for a second. Timothy is a young Christian man, and he ends up developing a good relationship with Paul afterwards. But if you were to find out some more about Timothy and look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy, who at that time ends up being the preacher at the church at Ephesus. He's writing to him to encourage him, and he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith." This is 2 Timothy 1, 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded now lives in you also. You see, Timothy's grandmother and mother lived their faith and shared their faith with young Timothy. And eventually he became a strong Christian and a gospel preacher. What a great work for a woman of faith to do, to train a child in the way that he should go. Another example of a woman who proclaimed her faith is found over in Acts chapter 18. And there in Acts 18, we read about the husband and wife ministry team of Aquila and Priscilla. And there in Acts 18, we find that they worked together at their craft of tent making, which is how they met fellow tent maker, the Apostle Paul, when he came to Corinth. Of course, Aquila and Priscilla just didn't share tent-making skills with Paul. We're told that they were also fellow workers in Christ, proclaiming their faith. And that's both of them, Aquila and Priscilla. Plus, it was there at Corinth where Aquila and Priscilla provided a church house for the Christians to meet. And later on in Acts 18, we find the husband and wife ministry team of Aquila and Priscilla in verses 24 through 26, opening up their home to the apostle, to Apollos, and helping him to better understand the scriptures so that he could be a better preacher and be more effective in sharing the gospel. And so we can see from the rest of Apollos' ministry in Acts that this husband and wife team of Aquila and Priscilla did a very good job of proclaiming their faith. So really, when looking at all that we see here, Priscilla's faith is seen in a number of good works. She was an excellent wife and an excellent worker in both the family business and the Lord's church. Kind of reminds me of Proverbs chapter 31. Plus, she was hospitable and a good teacher in her home. Again, from the book of Acts, we can see many examples of women in action, women who prayed, and examples of women of action who professed their faith by becoming Christians, and also women of action who proclaimed their faith by their actions, that is, by their good works. Now, earlier, we talked a little bit about Acts chapter 16 and Lydia, and I said that we would come back and talk some more about her, so we're going to do that now. So if you, again, have your Bible, I'd like to encourage you to turn back to Acts 16, and I'm going to read there, starting in verse 13, down to about verse 13. There Luke writes, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." She persuaded us. Okay, we've already talked some about Lydia and how she was a woman of prayer and how Lydia was also a woman who professed her faith. And what I want us to notice here is how she is also a woman who proclaims her faith in the good works that she does, because we're told that she is hospitable. And then later down in verse 40, we see that she is an encourager as she was encouraging other Christians. And I think that's something that we could all do, especially right now in this time of social distancing. Sometimes people think, well, what could I do as a Christian? What sort of good works could I do? Well, if you are at home and you are fortunate to have a computer, you could always message people or do maybe a video chat with somebody. Or if you have just a regular phone, and you could always call somebody and see how they're doing just to encourage them. There are many ways. You could even do things old-fashioned like and maybe write a note or a card and drop it in the mailbox. There's so many ways that we can encourage one another. Now, there's just one more thing that I think that we need to see here about this wonderful woman of action. And that is that Lydia was devoted to her family. So how do we know that? Well, when she responds in faith, her whole household, we're told, follows suit and obeys the gospel. Think about that. That means that all of her children and all who live in her household became Christians. Just think about Lydia's spiritual presence in her home. She has a very strong relationship with everyone in her household. They respect her authority, they listen to her, and they honor her. Simply put, Lydia is a woman of integrity, so much so that others followed her example. They all followed her example in believing the gospel and in being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and becoming a Christian. Lydia is a true woman of action. And it's my prayer that we could all look to the examples of these many women of action from the book of Acts. We could look to them for encouragement, for strength, for wisdom, for guidance in our own life, and especially as examples to our own families. So happy Mother's Day. One of the things that I believe would make a Christian mother really happy, or a Christian grandmother really happy, or even a Christian great-great-grandmother or great-grandmother really happy, is if all of their household were saved like Lydia's. And so if you have yet to put Christ on in baptism, I'd like to encourage you to give that serious thought, and if possible, do that today. And we're told that you do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in Him, turn to Him in repentance, confessing Him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to Him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, you continue to live your life for Jesus until He comes back again or you go to be with Him. And for those of us who are already Christians, well, I'd like to encourage you to do the right thing and honor your mom. And if she's no longer with us, well, do what you can to honor her memory. That's an important thing to do. Again, if anyone has the need to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us directly through our Facebook page, or you could email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Let's pray. Most Holy Father, we do so thank you for blessing us. We thank you for the time you've given us today. We thank you especially for the women in our lives, for our mothers. And Father, we pray that you will continue to bless them and to strengthen them wherever they are. Father, for those of us whose mothers have passed, Father, help us to fondly remember them and honor them some way this day today. Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus. In His name we pray. Again, we'd like to thank you for making us a part of your Sunday and pray that you'll worship with us the next time we meet here in Orangevale. And while we do understand that that might not be possible for a while, we do hope that you will continue to assemble with us Sunday mornings here at 11 on Facebook. Thank you, and God bless.